Welcome to worship on this Festival Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We invite you to join in the bold printed parts of the bulletin and celebrate with us this joyous occasion. And welcome, too, to those who are visiting or worshiping with us from home.
Thank you.
I invite all who are able to stand and to turn toward the cross. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
O sing to the Lord a new song.
For God has done marvelous things.
Because of God's steadfast love, all the ends of the earth have seen the glory of our God. For now is Christ risen from the dead. Break forth into joyous song and praises.
For God will rule the earth with righteousness. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you.
grace of the risen Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts and your ears to hear the Word of God.
First reading is from Acts, the 10th chapter. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he, the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Paul writes, "If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong in Christ, then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the risen Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
They went to see the tomb. That's what our gospel lesson says of what the women intended to do going out there. They went to see the tomb. Why did they do that? In the other gospels, it gives a little more of a purpose for why they're going out there. They're bringing spices and oils to prepare Jesus' body. But always asking the question, who's going to remove the stone that has sealed the entrance of the tomb, which we have no ability to remove? In those gospels, they go out there to anoint Jesus' body, but of course, not really. They know they have no ability to actually get to the body. So instead, really, a more accurate statement is what our Gospel of Matthew says today. They went to see the tomb. And again, why? Why do they simply want to see, to view the tomb? Well, why do we do that in our lives? Why do we go out to see a grave of our loved ones? Very frequently we'll say, I just need to go spend some time in the cemetery or columbarium. And in those moments, we don't expect that anything's going to change in the external circumstance. Whether we visit a grave or not, the person's body is still going to be there. What we expect is that there'll be change, but it will change in us. And it probably won't be change we can precisely predict. It might be a moment for us to open up and allow ourselves to grieve. It might be a moment of peace, coming to some acceptance that this person in our life is gone. It might bring a moment of community if we gather together with other members of our family around a grave. And it might even, of course, start as a practical thing. We're headed out there to scrape the moss off the gravestone. And in so doing, feel a connection to the one who's gone. I would suggest, though, that usually, until we're really present in that space, we don't know really how we're going to feel or what will happen inside of us. We're ready for something to happen, but I don't think we would presume to suggest we can predict it. So these women go out to see the tomb. They might not really know fully why they're going. Perhaps they're going to spend some time, to be ready for that new kind of experience, to simply be present at Jesus' tomb, before Jesus, before one another, to let their emotions, their lives, and their grief, the space to live, and for them simply to be present, to go see the tomb. Then, of course, they get there, and you know, while they might have recognized that one doesn't really know exactly what will happen when you go into those sacred spaces, here, of course, even expecting the unexpected fails. What they experience is unfathomable. There's a great earthquake before them. An angel comes down who looks like lightning and removes the stone from the very tomb. And then that angel tells them, don't be afraid, and that Jesus, who was crucified, isn't here. Come, see where he lay, and go spread his message to others. For Jesus has gone ahead of you, and you will see him. And then the women leave to go tell the others. But before they get there, Jesus appears and meets them. It says only one word, greetings. At this, they worship. Remember, They went out to see the tomb. That's what they thought they were going to do. They didn't expect that this was going to be a day where they were worshiping at all. They didn't expect that Jesus was missing, and they certainly didn't expect the reason he was missing, because he was raised from the dead, and they couldn't have expected an earthquake to suddenly occur. They went out to see the tomb, which of course they did. And they saw that tomb opened before them. The resurrection of Jesus is not something that can be expected or, frankly, fathomed. A resurrected life is one that, frankly, we can't really understand. We can understand a resuscitated life, someone who nearly dies, but then is brought back. But that's not what Jesus is. Jesus is someone who has fully died and remains someone who has died and yet has life. I think the way we today in the 21st century have tried to go fathom that unfathomability of Jesus' resurrection on Easter is that we tend to think of Easter and Jesus' resurrection as this scene in this geographical place, very far from us, 2,000 years ago. We try to imagine what that day would have been like for those people, those women who were there at that time. Which, of course, we ask all kinds of questions because we can't really imagine that. The details here are incredibly limited. It leaves open so many of the emotions and questions we would have. The Gospels don't answer them. But what if that isn't the point? What if the focus of the resurrection isn't about those women 2,000 years ago at all? What if where we experience the risen Jesus and live a resurrected life is not in their feelings, but in our own lives? Can we really fathom that? Can we really understand what it means for us to have died with Christ in our baptism and be raised anew as a new creation? That's the identity we hold. Can we really get that? Well, it's a paradox. So not really. It's something that really doesn't make true logical sense. We can accept that it's real for us. We can experience it as real for us. And we can embrace it as an unfathomable, wonderful aspect of who God is for us, very personally. The text says, he's not here. He's gone ahead of him. He's gone ahead of you. You will see him in the future. It doesn't say you'll see him just once. You'll continue seeing him. You'll continue experiencing Jesus who is among us. Can we prepare for that? Can we put ourselves in a right enough mind that we can come to worship and be ready to experience fully the resurrected life for us? Probably not very often. But you know what we can do? We can go out to see the tomb. We all come into this space today, in person or from home, for very different reasons and very different motivations. Some might be coming today because they are in the space and frame of mind ready to see Jesus in their lives. Others might be coming, frankly, wishing they were in that frame of mind, but today we're not sure if we're up for it. Tomorrow may be different. Others might really simply be here as observers, or simply curious and aren't sure how they feel about this whole Jesus story. And frankly, others, quite honestly, might have been dragged along here today and really would just assume be watching an Easter parade, but familial obligation got the better of you. But I would suggest all of us can see the tomb. The women didn't come for the purpose of worshiping Jesus. They came to be present. And while being present, they are changed. Jesus changes them. Jesus appears to them. Jesus becomes alive in ways they couldn't fathom. And they end up worshiping, even though they didn't plan on coming to worship that day. They are told, "He is going ahead of you." But where is Jesus going ahead of them? It says to Galilee, but not only Galilee. Galilee, by the way, is the place they already live. Jesus is always going ahead of you. And not just wherever you happen to be going geographically next. Did you notice an oddity in this story? It says that the angel, before the eyes of the women, rolled the stone away. And then it says, "He's not here. He's been raised." Did any of you ask that cynical question? Well, if the stone was still in place and hadn't been moved, and then when they open it, Jesus is already gone, how'd he get out of there? The answer to that practical question might be multiple, but the theological question, what this means for our life, is that where has Jesus gone ahead of you is not just where you go geographically next, but Jesus has gone ahead of you already from death to life. Jesus, the one who has died when you first opened the tomb, already has gone ahead of you, already has been raised. As we all face our own mortality in ourselves, in our families, in those we love, we follow Jesus from death to life. He is going ahead of you, and you will see him. They went out to see the tomb. They do see it, and they also see him. It can't be expected. It's not about our motivations or desirings to see him or not. Jesus is going ahead of you. Jesus calls us in the experience of our life to come together to worship, to embrace those moments of going out and seeing the tomb, to be present and simply say, "Jesus, I am here." And the resurrection life is the life where Jesus says, "You are here, and so am I. Let us go forth together." Amen.
Thank you.
with the whole church throughout all ages, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. O God, you call your church to witness to your salvation. We give thanks for all who proclaim your gospel. Equip us to share the joy of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You bring abundant life throughout creation. The green blade rises, and all creation greets the resurrection dawn. Preserve vineyards and orchards and those who tend them. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You show your steadfast love without regard to borders, barriers, or human-made divisions. Infuse your justice in every nation of the world, so that all might experience peace. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You anointed your Son with the Holy Spirit and with power. Encourage us by his example in our ministries of healing, care, and outreach. We pray for all who are in need of your healing presence, especially remembering today Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gail Hadelberg, Marcia Jarrett, Lori Lund, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, as well as all those we hold in our hearts. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
O God, you have put gladness in our hearts. Inspire musicians and vocalists to rejoice with songs of praise. Bless the music ministries of this congregation and all who enrich our worship life by sharing the gifts you have given them. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As you have raised Jesus from the dead, O God, you show us your resurrection promise. With your holy ones who have sung your praise, free us from fear and empower us to go and tell the good news. Risen Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always. And today I'd invite you to stand and greet one another around you, but also turn and face the camera upstairs and wave to the people worshiping with us from home.
Let us pray. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen Christ. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy, almighty, and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his dying has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. And at the direction of the ushers, we'll invite you to come forward today down the center aisle, and you can go to the right or to the left and receive the bread and then the wine, or dip the wafer into the cup. You'll see the cup has red wine or white grape juice. There are also gluten-free wafers available. Should you need those, please let your server know. So down the center aisle and then return by the side aisles. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. please stand? And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in the risen Christ's name. Amen. And now receive the benediction. The blessing of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surround and sustain you, keep you from harm, and fill you with courage. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen indeed.
Go in peace, serve the risen Christ.